This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Bucks Bulletin, the brainchild of my friends at Brandon Legal Group. They are your full-service law firm. They service the greater Tampa Bay area. If you have any legal needs, such as family law or divorce, Brandon Legal Group can help. Very easy to obtain a free consult. Go to their website, brandonlegalgroup.com, click the box that says request a free consultation, or you can call 844-4BLG4ME, 844-4BLG4ME, to request a free consultation. They service the greater Tampa Bay area, and they are your full-service law firm. And I very much appreciate their longtime support of not only my podcast, but also they buy the first foursome and provide either custom gifts or prizes at every Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournament. Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm. My email for podcast listeners only is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Social media at toddwright2121 on Instagram, on Twitter, and we can be Facebook friends. I'm Todd Wright, simply in Tampa, Florida. Bucks and Saints. Let me do the Saints first here because I've pulled up Marquez Callaway's page. Because Callaway popped into right at the fringe of the top 10 a couple of weeks ago on the strength of two touchdowns in a Saints win at Washington. Then the Saints were among the four teams that went on bye in week six. Comes back in week seven, three catches, 32 yards, no touchdowns in sort of a Monday nighter against the Seattle Seahawks. Make no mistake about it, Callaway has really been the only pass catcher of any significance from a fantasy consideration. But this is where I talk about how targets don't matter. If you want to look at targets and say, well, he's had 15 targets his last two games. Well, he's caught a Hail Mary. So good for him. But so did Donovan Peoples-Jones 2 weeks ago. And last week, he was nowhere to be found in terms of someone you wanted to be as a fantasy starter, even in a Cleveland win. So 15 targets doesn't mean anything. They don't get you points. You get points by actually touching the ball. So he's touched the ball on the year 16 times in six games. That's it. Now, I don't know if he's had a rushing look. I kind of doubt it with Alvin Kamara. Does all this add up? It does. He has not had a rushing look. So we're going into Halloween. Granted, he's had a bye week. But Marquez Callaway has touched the ball. What did I say? 16 times. That's it. That's not fantasy worthy, in my opinion. He scored three touchdowns, and he only got on the radar because he caught a Hail Mary against Washington a few weeks ago. So until we see what Michael Thomas can do, and I know many of you, I tried to do this and I just couldn't afford the roster spot for half a season. But until we see Michael Thomas on the field and whether or not he can produce, because he hasn't in a while, he hasn't been healthy, and now he's with Jameis Winston, there's no Saint pass catcher of significance because Kamara catches so many of the passes. He's basically the first option. So Kamara comes into this game on average per game RB5 for the season, only behind Derrick Henry, Austin Eckler, Ezekiel Elliott, and the surging Jonathan Taylor in Indianapolis. So Kamara's been worth, now granted, here's the good news. If you drafted Kamara in the first, four picks, you've gotten what you invested in Alvin Kamara for the first half of the season. The problem is if you passed on Derrick Henry to take Alvin Kamara, that was a mistake. So that's the way I look at it from Kamara's standpoint. Now, Kamara owners are all also worried about what the reacquisition of Mark Ingram means. Mark Ingram's going to be in, and I would imagine they will use him in short yardage situations. I think they would use him in goal line situations. I'm not saying they'll use him exclusively in goal line situations. I think this is also a way, because they had Tony Jones and he got hurt. This is a way for them to say, we don't have to play Kamara every play. And there's someone else who knows our playbook, knows our system, and they trust him. So could this cost Kamara a touchdown here or there? Yes. Is it going to downgrade Kamara from where he's at to an RB2? No. I wouldn't worry about that. So we'll see how it ultimately plays out. We'll probably need to see it for more than one game against the Buccaneer run defense. But really, the only saint you can roll out every week at this point is Kamara. And I know some of you picked up Ingram when he was traded to the Saints. Yeah, I get that. But I still think he's only someone you're going to put in there. I don't think you're playing him this week. You're only going to put in there if you see enough to go on. Look, James Conner's become one of the better goal line backs in the National Football League. Did it again in the Thursday night game in Arizona's loss to Green Bay. Now, if Ingram gets to that status, then Kamara owners are going to be upset, and you have a reason to roster and play Ingram. I don't expect that is going to happen. And as far as Jameis Winston is concerned, he's QB14. If we're including per average, which means Russell Wilson is still ranked, Winston is QB14. So in a 12-team league, that means he's not a starter for you. I mean, maybe you play him this week instead of Lamar Jackson. If you, like me, have invested heavily in Lamar Jackson, he's an option. I didn't use him as an option for Lamar Jackson this week. I instead have Kirk Cousins and I have Carson Wentz. I did cut Sam Darnold. I already have DJ Moore's production linked to Sam Darnold. That's enough for right now. And Darnold has just had a really bad few weeks. So Wentz has been better. He's been consistently about 15 points or better. And I know we're getting off the stance here, but I'm just sort of talking about Jameis Winston as a fantasy starting QB. The numbers are okay, but there's just not a lot. I mean, that floor isn't very high. It's not very stable on Winston. So with the Saints, it's just Kamara. Oh, and by the way, if you thought Will Lutz was coming back, he tried. He can't. He's done for the year. Quick kicker note. Okay. On to the Bucs side of things for this week. Those of you like me who invested in Antonio Brown and have been very, very happy with him when he's played, now we're not sure when we're going to see him again. I'm going to keep rostering him through the bye week, but you know, this is one of those, and you kind of hate to say it, but Matthew Berry often says it on Fantasy Football Now. You kind of just want the knowledge. I mean, Brown may go on IR, and that's a minimum of 3 games. This feels bad. It feels bad. Hope I'm wrong for Antonio Brown's sake. And obviously the Bucs hope they can get him back at some point in the next month, or have him for the postseason. Their postseason, though, is different than our postseason. But the optics of him being on a crutch, watching practice, not good. So in comes Gronk. First time we've seen Gronk since the Rams knocked the snot out of him in the Bucs' only loss in week 3. So Gronk steps in and I would imagine is going to be featured by Tom Brady. On a per-game average for the 3 games Gronk has played this season, he's wide receiver slash tight end 5. Only behind Kupp, Chase, Debo, and Mike Williams. That's how good Gronk was before the Rams knocked him out and made him a focus of their defensive game plan in week three. And that's a Rams defense that's loaded. I like the Saints defense, but I love the Rams defense. Halloween, Gronk playing again. Yeah, it feels like a good spot for Gronk. I've invested in him. I'm actually playing him in place of Antonio Brown, the wide receiver tight end flex. He was available on waivers in a number of leagues recently because he's been out a while. So I think he's a good play this week. Where Brown leaves off, I think Gronk picks up. Evans was terrific last week as a red zone target for Tom Brady. Evans is now wide receiver tight end 10 on the season in my 21st century standard scoring settings. But just behind Devontae Adams, Antonio Brown was 8, by the way. So the Bucs have number 5, number 8, number 10. That's how Brady spreads it around. Brady QB2 behind Josh Allen, a given this week. And Leonard Fournette keeps putting up good numbers. In recent weeks, he's been basically a top 6 running back the last month. On the season per average, I show him at RB18. He had multiple opportunities to get a second touchdown that he didn't take advantage of. And perhaps there wasn't as much of an urgency because the game was in hand by halftime. But Fournette sees good volume. He sees the goal line looks. He does catch some balls out of the backfield. He seems invested. He seems healthy. I'm obviously playing Fournette again this week. I traded for him a couple of weeks ago. So the Bucs have plenty of people you can start. Even though you can't play Antonio Brown this week, you can play Gronk instead. Godwin is just outside the top 20, but I think you're still playing him. You're just not getting as many touchdowns from Godwin, but take the one game out from Evans last week, and we talked about a couple weeks ago how evenly distributed the per average game played was in receptions, yards, and touchdowns between Brown, Evans, and Godwin. Godwin may not get his in this game, but it's not like he's going to be left behind going forward. I think you can still feel very comfortable about keeping Godwin in your lineup. All right, Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com. Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com. We'll skip next week because it's a Buccaneer bye week. I won't have anything to talk about with no opponent. We don't need to do a midseason evaluation. You know where these guys are. So we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks on the Bucs Bulletin following the bye. Thanks for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Bucs Bulletin presented by Brandon Legal Group.